Hi, welcome again to Red Flags Rising. My name is Mike Hunneke. I'm the co-chair of Hughes, Hubbard & Reed's Sanctions, Export Controls, and AML Practice Group. With me yet again is my good friend Brent Carlson, a director at the Berkeley Research Group. Today is Sunday, August 24th, 2025, just after 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Brent and I wanted to do a bit of an emergency podcast today and jump on something that just came to our attention at the end of last week that we thought would be a good follow-on to episode 26, which we'll release just ahead of this one. Brent, what is the topic that we want to talk about today?
Yeah, we came across a China Talk podcast episode on GPU black market smuggling. China Talk is a podcast by Jordan Schneider about China and technology. He's been focusing too on some of the export controls topics that we've talked about. His guest on this latest episode is Stephen Burke, who's with Gamers Nexus. Steve Burke just came out with a 3.5-hour documentary in which he's going through the entire smuggling chain from source, plug, the mule, middleman, the fence, the fixer, and user. He goes to China and he walks through each of these elements in the chain to show that this stuff is actually going on. These products that are ostensibly banned for export to China are readily available. It poses some interesting questions that we can discuss and unpack a little bit on this short pod, and then point people over to the China Talk episode as well.
Even if you have a passing interest in these topics, it's fascinating to me that export control diversion investigations are going mainstream. Steve's normal focus here are basically consumer reviews and then a little bit of consumer advocacy around gaming cards, GPUs, around CPU boxes. I remember building my own CPU as a teenager with my dad. A little bit of nostalgia came back about Steve's background and what they do.
He said his next video is going to be a review on a computer bag.
Right. We will put links in the show notes. Brent, you're right to mention the podcast. The documentary that he put together is 3.5 hours long as published. There's a slightly shorter China Talk podcast episode with Jordan Schneider that is really a useful overview of what was Steve doing, why was he doing it, what were his reactions to what he learned.
Right. It's interesting how this whole topic of export control diversion, focusing on these GPUs that are the core for the AI race that we're in between the United States and China, is that this whole topic has become mainstream. It was very interesting to watch that entire documentary. It's one of the best investigative journalism pieces I've seen in a very long time. He's sincere and he loves his whole thing of going and reviewing hardware. As he walks through it and he talks with these people, it's very genuine. It's very unassuming. He's just gathering these facts as he goes through it. I found it quite interesting to watch.
Well, Brent, what were some of the main points that Steve's documentary and his podcast with Jordan hit on?
The big key takeaways are, number one, despite positions that may say that there is no smuggling going on, there actually is quite a lot going on. It's happening on a scale that is quite impressive for anybody to look at. When Steve and his colleague were going through China, they found these pieces readily available. They found hardware that is ostensibly banned through export controls readily available in markets in China. On the China side, they look at this as just business as usual. There's no ban domestically. The other thing too is that there's a whole ecosystem in China for using, applying, reapplying these items. The diversion risks are not something where you're going to have a whole big two-ton rack that's going to go out there, but it's going to go in pieces. And China has a large ecosystem already in place that's able to take these and adapt them and get them in through that smuggling chain. It's well worth to watch this documentary. The key risks are for companies, U.S. exporters, looking at their customers, who are they selling to, and ostensibly who are the end users, and where the risk could be at the front end for companies. U.S. companies are not involved in that whole smuggling chain. That's all downstream. The risks are where it gets out the door, how it starts to get into that chain from the very beginning. What due diligence are they doing on their customers and end users? What red flags are they identifying and addressing? Are the companies applying the high probability standard, which is leveraging that full definition of knowledge under the EAR that we've talked about?
And Brent, there was a frequently used terminology for the smuggling chain, something that I think translates to ants moving a house.
Yes, yes. There were a couple of phrases used in this documentary that were quite useful. One is mai banjia, so it's the ants moving a house. In the smuggling chain that Gamers Nexus looks at, there are a lot of little small players moving a lot of little small pieces that in aggregate add up to a lot. I think that's one thing to really think about. The other phrase that came up repeatedly when talking with people in China was the phrase in Chinese is 睁一只眼闭一只眼. It means open one eye and close one eye, looking the other way or turning a blind eye. That's where we talk about the risk on the front end for companies. Again, exporters are not looking to actively violate U.S. export control laws, but there's a risk that there could be due diligence that was not adequately done to address those red flags from a general prohibition 10 and full definition of knowledge perspective.
Right. It's interesting. It shows there are many layers to knowledge and awareness that one could possibly have. I don't think anyone, certainly anyone who's had any experience in China, would think that for a critical item in short supply with significant markups, that there would be zero smuggling. I also don't think the government would say zero smuggling is the standard by which we'll judge whether the export controls are successful or not. There's some very good writing, for example, by Greg Allen from CSIS that he put out around the DeepSeek scandal and the Sputnik moment that came out around there that we have written and spoken about also, explaining that, well, the real test is the unknowable, and that is where would DeepSeek, where would have others been today if there had been no controls? I think it was pretty universal from the people, at least in Hong Kong, that Steve spoke to, that they all thought they would have much more capability in terms of AI if the export controls hadn't been there. Even if they could always find a GPU or two that they need, even where they have built 50 or 60 GPU systems, sometimes right before the cutoff, before they need a license, sometimes after licenses were required, that doesn't mean that export controls are a failure. It also doesn't necessarily mean that anyone is acting with a high probability awareness. These one-by-one individual smuggling activities, the huge difficulty from both a policy perspective and a company perspective is how do you quantify what's really happening? It all depends on framing. It creates a risk for companies if they say there's no smuggling. Well, there is smuggling, but they could fairly say, well, look, yes, there's smuggling. We're not going to deny that there's smuggling, but there's not grand scale smuggling that one of these big companies who are trying to build a super cluster would be doing. Then the problem is, well, how do you know that's not happening? Coming back to the source of the ants moving house, Jane, that you mentioned, it demonstrates the importance to companies adopting what you and I have been talking about, a high probability protocol. This exemplifies how impossible it is to stop smuggling. That doesn't mean that we give up. It doesn't mean that we might as well just sell them if you got them and see how much money we can make until the capability is entirely indigenized in China. But it highlights very visually in documentary video form with music and cutscenes and all kinds of stuff that there will be times when somebody goes to you and says, how could you have missed this? You want to be able to say, look, yes, we didn't. And this is an actual example from the video, right? We didn't catch the guy in the United States running bootleg GPUs out of his trunk, right? But we did catch things that would indicate higher risk of actual military end use, military intelligence end use, WMD end use, that type of thing. On this when I open, when I closed reference, a lot of that was Steve Burke asking smugglers and middlemen in China, did they think that the manufacturer, that the design company knew this stuff was happening? That was the common refrain, that they thought the exporter, manufacturer, design companies knew that this was happening, but were essentially turning a blind eye to it. Now, there's nothing in the video that says that any of those companies actually knew exactly that this supply chain was working this way. There's reference, for example, to legitimate individual users in the U.S. selling their stuff on Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, things like that. That's not something the design company or the manufacturing company would ever really know about. The real risk to companies is that, look, now you have well-produced visual evidence of smuggling and guys actually taking racks apart and showing GPUs in them. It's probably a bit unfair. It's just yet another avenue of risk in this very complex geopolitical game of semiconductors.
It's out there. This documentary that Steve Burke does, it just shows that it's rampant. Those products are readily available in China. What we're going to see happening is the U.S. government has been taking an increased interest in tamping out that smuggling chain.
Absolutely. This is the type of publicity, especially red meat that members of Congress are, I'm sure, going to jump on once they get back from the August recess after Labor Day weekend. This is the type of thing that will just further spur investigative journalists to keep doing what they're doing. It wouldn't surprise me if many people at BS have already seen this video.
Yeah, absolutely. It really has gone mainstream. Gamers Nexus made a t-shirt that has that Chinese phrase in it, open one eye, close one eye, and they're sold out. They're backordered. It's an indication that there is increasing widespread mainstream attention on this whole issue. It's important to reiterate in all this that even though anybody's company in the United States, they're not actively looking to be part of any sort of smuggling chain. You don't want to get exposed and caught up with it. You don't want to get exposed to any potential enforcement liability risk because of, let's say, mistakes done on the front end at the source, at the top of that chain. It goes back to that case that we talked about on a recent episode about the arrest down in LA of two guys who were buying up these GPUs, or actually buying servers that had the GPUs and then shipping them to Southeast Asia that were then funneled into the PRC. Steve Burke actually talks about that case as well. But we also talk about that case from the perspective of U.S. export controls from the company side in the U.S., exporters looking at that. That episode is Preventing Diversion Starts Close to Home, but it comes down to developing and implementing a high probability protocol to leverage the full definition of knowledge under the Export Administration Regulations to make sure that due diligence on the front end by the companies is, first of all, identifying and then, second, addressing any red flags that might come up, because that would give them exposure. If there were red flags as to the end user on these items on the front end side, that's something you got to jump on now, because it's going to come under more scrutiny as time goes on. It does show that export controls are working. When you see smuggling as a reaction to that, that is a positive sign from the government's perspective. But what this also means is that the front door may be closed, but the back door still remains open. And that's where the government's going to focus its efforts. That's where companies should be focusing their efforts to make sure that they don't have any back doors in their compliance programs that could bring risk onto themselves in all this.
That's a great point, Brent, that you made also at the end of our last episode, episode 26. There you were talking about the impact, or maybe not as much of an impact, that the new law requiring BIS to report annually to Congress might have. You mentioned that was closing the front door because, look, if you put, for example, the name of any of these house moving ants on the export application, there probably would be some questions raised. The smugglers and middlemen here are not the people getting named on the export control application.
That's right.
They are nowhere near what's being put on paper. The challenge for exporters is how much is it of this is going on when things like this do become public, like the arrests of the two individuals in Los Angeles a few weeks ago that we also covered on the pod. Are there things becoming public that might make us rethink any of the prior judgments we made about risk, either as to specific people or as to types of customers or types of purchasers that we want to change? That's actually a good thing. That's a very good story to be able to tell if you're asked questions later. There should not be a hesitancy or a reticence in companies' trade compliance teams to evolve. In our experience under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, evolving in response to events, whether those are public guidance events from the U.S. government, whether those are public enforcement events from the U.S. government, was a way to demonstrate to the satisfaction of the U.S. government the effectiveness of your corporate compliance program. The worst thing to do would be to see something in a documentary like this, have that moment where you go, oh, we shouldn't have approved X, Y, or Z, but then not do anything about it because you're afraid that it would be some form of admission. Look, the advantage, the real trick to the high probability standard and why it actually works, not only for government to bring more cases more quickly, but why it helps companies' compliance teams, is there's this huge gray area that we're all making judgments in as best we can. It allows you to shift as you need to without fundamentally challenging the premises on which you've been operating. A bit tricky, not for the faint of heart, but there is a path forward after documentaries like this come out, after other types of allegations come out, to ingest what might be the core relevant information and determine in a document whether you need to make any changes.
Well said. You know, we've known for a very long time that compliance is not just a one and done exercise. It needs to constantly evolve as new information comes to light, as new regulations come, new enforcement initiatives come out. Compliance programs need to adapt with all that. And that's what this is all about. It would be a mistake to turn away or pretend it doesn't exist, because really with what this documentary shows and with other press coverage that we've seen over the last couple of years, the horses are out of the barn on this now. It's becoming a mainstream issue. It's time to really take some action.
Brent, what do we mean by mainstream? Well, I think our podcast has done pretty well. We have a bit fewer subscribers than Gamers Nexus does. They have about 2.5 million subscribers. I'm sure that for probably all of those people, they did not subscribe to Gamers Nexus's YouTube channel in the hopes that they might have an unexpected 3.5-hour documentary on export control, smuggling. But that's mainstream. It's just a few more downloads than I think we have on this podcast.
That's right. Things are super niche until they're not. Then when it hits critical path, then all things are off.
Well, interesting times, Brent. What's your managing up segment for today?
My thoughts on managing up this time around are really things can be hidden in plain sight. Once attention gets to it, then it takes on a life of its own. There's a Warren Buffett saying that when the tide goes out, we all see who's swimming naked. An indication of a tide going out in the export controls world is when you do see more reports like this becoming mainstream. There's going to be a lot of attention placed on this. You're going to have a lot of folks in government that are going to be looking at this on both sides of the aisle, all the way up to the highest levels in the administration, because nobody wants to be embarrassed by this. Now's the time to take a reassessment of the compliance program, like we've talked about, develop and implement a high probability protocol. We're glad to compare notes with anybody at any time if they want to talk about how that's going to be implemented and how that can be done. But it's here, it's now, and it's the facts of life.
Well said, Brent. There are paths forward for everyone involved. It may require a little bit more creativity. It will require a bit of legwork, but the path is there for everyone involved.
Absolutely. The path is there.
Well, Brent, that concludes this episode of Red Flags Rising. Be well.
Thanks, Mike. Be well. And to everyone else out there, be well.